What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today, recording this late on a Thursday night, and it's funny. I start to plan these pods throughout the week, and then once you get into Tuesday and Wednesday and, into Thursday like today, you sort of have a plan, and I was going to come on here, absolutely rip the Phillies a new one after the performance they had in Queens, which we'll get to, and it is still something that's very important and very pertinent, but Kyle Schwarber gives every Phillies fan exactly what they needed tonight just to take a deep breath and say that this still has the potential to be a special team and a special season. Kyle Schwarber hits 4 home runs against the Atlanta Braves at home tonight. The Phillies clearly needed a little bit of home cooking, and Schwarber gives us a night that we'll never forget. Becomes the 21st player in Major League Baseball history to have a 4-home-run game. The 2nd player in Phillies history, of course, Schmidty's 4-homer game at Wrigley Field, which my grandfather and everybody of that generation recalls very fondly. And then you have this game tonight, which he had a chance for 5 home runs, mind you. He faced Fidel Brujan there in the 9th inning and missed the pitch that was, a softball pitch. And he almost had 5 home runs, which would have been the first time ever that happened. But 9 RBI, the most in Phillies history, and just an absolutely ridiculous night from Schwarber. And he breaks his, biggest cold streak of the year in probably the most Kyle Schwarber way you could ever imagine. He goes 0-for-20 and has really struggled in Queens. And again, we are going to get to the Mets series because it has to be talked about. But he breaks that 0-4 streak in the most Kyle Schwarber way possible and hits 4 bombs on what was really a great team win for the Phillies. I know it was an unbelievable individual performance, but they hit the 7 home runs. Kepler goes yard. Bryce Harper also goes yard. And I'm missing one here. But 7 home runs tonight for the Phillies, which was really impressive because they go down early 3-0 after Nola gives up 3 in the first, which was rough. Oh, JT had the other home run, excuse me. But a rough first inning from Aaron Nola, and you're thinking to yourself, man, like, is this it? Are they going to blow yet another game in this division right now? And the Mets are losing currently as we speak, 7-4 to the Mets by the time that this comes out tomorrow morning. Hopefully the Phillies are back up to a 5-game lead in the East. But you were worried in that first inning that the Mets are playing the Marlins tonight. The Phillies are already down 3-0. And is this just going to keep slipping and slipping away to where maybe if the Mets come in here in September, is it a 1 or 2-game lead, or do they even have a lead at all? So just a much, much needed win for this baseball team, and I think for everybody involved. Tensions were clearly high, and I'm going to get into the Mets series right now because it was a disaster in Queens this week. There's no doubt about it. They've lost 10 straight there now and just have played some really, really bad baseball up at Citi Field. And it was just an embarrassing 3 games for them in every way. You have on Monday night Bryce breaking out the rivalry pack, and I understand that's an Under Armour branded thing, and it was something that, for his Harper 10s, ultimately a selling product to be able to, push. And I understand he's a big athlete. Under Armour clearly has been his sponsor forever, and he wants to, promote his own line, which I totally get. But at the same time, I feel like Bryce has always had a good sense and a good feel of what I guess, what's called for in the moment. And it just felt like a horrible moment to break that out. Between that, between Alec Bohm complaining about the mic and causing a 19-minute delay and giving Mets fans something to sort of rally around, they're bringing hyperbolic mics to the ballpark, which is pretty insane. But between those two things and just the lackluster performance on Tuesday night, on Monday night and Wednesday night, Tuesday night they lose a game where I thought they showed some fight, and the Duran blowup was sort of, you know, what's unraveled everything after the Bader homer, and definitely we'll touch on Duran a little bit too. But just a really bad series up in Queens, and you wonder if there's a mental block with the Phillies playing up there. We know what happened in the postseason last year. Earlier this year, they got swept in pretty ugly fashion, and I was really happy that tonight they were just able to bounce back from that, because that was about as big of a kick in the groin as you could possibly imagine for a three-game series in August. And the way they responded tonight, and I was going back this year, and I tried to think to myself if this was the worst series that they had played, the one in Queens. And it was between that and the Houston series. And funny enough, after that Houston series down in Houston this year, where I think they scored one run in three games, they bounced back against the Braves the night after and scored like 12 runs. And they end up doing the same thing tonight. So thank you to the Atlanta Braves, specifically Cal Quantrill, who was just god-awful. I mean, the stuff that Kyle Quantrill has, I know he's bounced around from a bunch of teams over the past couple of years now, but when he was with Cleveland, I thought he was going to maybe turn into something. Just god terrible. But the Phillies took advantage, and they did what they had to do, especially after going down 3-0. Like I said, in that first inning, things were looking very bleak, and they're able to bounce back in a big way there, and clearly led by Kyle Schwarber. And so I want to get to the rest of the lineup a little bit, and then I'll get into the staff. What they've done recently, especially since Wheeler's gone down. But this JT thing too, he's such a productive player right now. I don't think they can move him down in the lineup. And he's hitting in the four spot, and he's since June been a all-star caliber catcher. And I just hope that the magic of what JT's been able to accomplish the last couple of months doesn't run out soon. And it was everybody in Queens that really couldn't hit, but I was getting worried in those first few games. I'm like, man, is the JT sort of magic and JT hot streak kind of run out here? But what he's been able to provide for them in the four spot just allows Schwarber and Harper and Trey, who really struggled in that Mets series, to sort of be able to get a little more to pitch-wise to be able to hit. And so if he can keep that up, I mean, it makes this lineup that much deeper, and hopefully he can continue to have that production, because right now, clearly, Kyle Schwarber is going to be the priority for this team to bring back. I don't know what this team would do without JT Realmuto, frankly. Between what he does at the plate and what he does behind the plate, and especially with the pitching staff as well, I just don't see a way that the Phillies don't bring him back unless they, have some plan to trade for Adley Rutschman or bring in another catcher via trade. The free agent market on catchers just is really, really small, and I don't see a way that the Phillies are competitive next year and don't have JT Realmuto back on the team. So good stuff from JT. Trey, again, good night tonight. Everyone, the whole lineup sort of was able to produce tonight. But Trey's been really rough up at Citi Field over the course of his Phillies tenure so far. And he had a really bad postseason last year, was going back to chasing the pitchers out of the zone this year. And whether it's Manaea, whether it was McClain, who was absolutely dealing for the Mets on Wednesday night, he is going to be a problem, by the way. And it just felt like they know how to pitch to him. They get him out of the zone. They get him on the fastballs up and away. Get him on the breaking stuff down. And my worry with Trey, I guess, moving forward here, and it's not something you can really control until the postseason, is it just feels like, even back to the Dodger days and even with Washington, it just feels like in a lot of big spots, whether mainly in the postseason, he just hasn't come up big. And it just feels like he needs some postseason success to get his confidence up and to be able to be trusted in some big spots. Like, he's had a couple big hits. He had in 23, I think, in the NLCS, he had that big solo homer to get things started in the first inning off Merrill Kelly. But he's had some moments, but it just feels like he hasn't come up in a really clutch spot yet in the postseason for the Phillies. So if he can do that early on in the postseason, hopefully that gives him the confidence moving forward and can make a deep push in October and be really productive. But it just feels like in the big regular season series and in the postseason, we haven't seen that clutch gene out of Trey Turner yet. And Trey's having a phenomenal year. He's probably top five in National League MVP voting if it ended today. But I just hope that he can come up big in some big series here, because he's going to be someone they need down the stretch in the postseason. And if he's hitting the way he has all year, then I think this team has a great chance to go and make a deep playoff run. Like, that Mets run, even before tonight, did not deter me from this team being able to win the World Series. Like, it's a bad series in August. Was it poorly timed? Yes. Do they have a Citi Field problem? They might. And look, I'm not going to accuse the Mets of cheating, but they clearly, I think, have some intel on potentially the tipping pitches and the Phillies giving away some, I guess, again, intel on what they're throwing. And, you know, it's part of the game. And I think that's something that's obviously allowed and not something that should be discouraged. But they clearly have something up there that doesn't work for them. And there's a good chance they're going to face them in the postseason again, which just absolutely terrifies me. Like, I'm almost at the point right now where I'd rather go out to LA and play the Dodgers in the division series. That is how, I don't want to say scared I am of the Mets, but that's how much I'm dreading having to play another postseason series up at Citi Field, because you just feel like you know how it's going to go. Like, all three of those games, even game two where Bader hits the massive home run, as soon as they don't get that stop run in when he's at third, I'm just like, oh, well, I know how this is going to go. And Diaz, it's funny, for Diaz struggling as much as he did right when he got to the Mets against the Phillies in like 2019, 2020, he absolutely owns the Phillies now. And I've talked about how good Kyle Schwarber was tonight. Schwarber, Diaz absolutely owns him. I think he's 0 for 12 with 10 strikeouts now, which is insane. And in the postseason last year, he dominated him too. So, again, just their lineup's not that good, and their pitching staff, I mean, they're piecing it together here with McClain, and Jonah Tong is coming up, who's nasty for them, but I just don't see them as being a better team on paper than the Phillies. But as we know in the postseason, that is not always what gets you to the World Series. So, want to talk about the rotation for a little bit here, and, you know, kind of how they've been post-Zach Wheeler, and they had a really good series, clearly, against the Seattle Mariners, to where you felt really good about Sanchez, you felt really good about Ranger, and you felt really good, I think it was Taiwan who also pitched in that series. So you had some good, I guess, juju coming out of that. But Sanchez probably had his worst start of the year this week, and it just felt like in Queens, I got through the first three innings really easy, and then he just lost his feel for the changeup completely. And when he loses that, he's got to be able to be pinpoint accurate with the fastball, which he wasn't, and he got knocked around a little bit and gave up some base runners. And look, the defense didn't help him out. I think Bohm missed the ball at third. There was a couple of missed calls, but he totally just lost the feel for his stuff, and it was pretty clear to tell. I don't know why Rob threw him back in for that last inning. It just felt like you knew that he was probably didn't have his best stuff that night, and it just seemed like he took him out a little bit too late. But again, probably not the reason they lost the game. The offense just was not good in that series in game one and game three. But Lizardo was sort of a similar thing to where, you know, he was dealing right when the game started, missed a few calls with that minor league umpire behind the plate, and he ends up getting ejected as he's leaving the game, which I don't blame him. There were some pretty brutal calls, and I just think that I like the fieriness out of Lizardo, but at the same time, it does feel like he pitches with a lot of emotion, and he pitches like with definitely with his emotions on his sleeve. And I think that that's something where in a big postseason setting, I think that's good and bad. You don't want to let it get to you too much, because you have to be a little stoic on the mound and be able to sort of, you know, because that your teammates sort of follow your lead when you're the starting pitcher. And if, you know, you're losing sort of your temper a little bit and you're losing control, I think that's where the game can get away from you a little bit. But I thought the stuff was actually pretty good. Like, the velocity was there. He got so mad that he started throwing 100 miles an hour and I think was actually overthrowing some fastballs. So, overall, wasn't the worst Lizardo start, but at the same time, it's something that he's got to be able to still find a way to pitch with base runners on, and that's clearly been a problem for him all year, and it's something I definitely worry about as we head towards the postseason. So, he's got the stuff. He's just got to be able to pitch out of the stretch a little bit better. And ultimately, I think that if he's able to eliminate as many base runners as possible and be able to pitch with the bases empty, that's going to be where we see the most success for Jesus Lizardo. And then Taiwan, I thought it was fine. Like, the offense wasn't doing anything anyway. I think you've gotten pretty much the most out of Taiwan that you can possibly ask for so far this year. And we are at a point with him to where I think we were asking before that Mets start, do you trust him in a postseason setting? And I'm still not there yet.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
I have to see a little bit more and just some shutdown starts as opposed to, just the three runs, four runs, and five, six innings and keeping the team in the game, but at the same time not giving you a great chance to win. So that's where I'm at with Taiwan. I think he's been fine, but at the same time, I don't know if I'm trusting him in a postseason setting quite yet. And Aaron Nola, who went tonight, I mentioned at the top, really struggled in the first inning. Was struggling with command, left a lot of fastballs over the plate, and got hit around a little bit, but really bared down after that inning. Really started locating the knuckle curve, got a lot of swings and misses on that. He actually passed Cole Hamels and is now third on the all-time list for Philly starting pitcher strikeouts, which pretty cool to see. He is now behind Carlton and Chris Short, I believe, if I have that right. So, yeah, it was a great night for Aaron Nola after a really rough start. Ends up giving up four earned runs in six innings. And there were six innings that were needed because this bullpen was taxed after the Mets series. And I think that they were in a spot to where they needed a starter to go at least six innings because you had the short Sanchez outing, you had the short Lizardo outing. Taiwan last night gave them, five? And so they're in a spot where they need – oh, and I'm sorry. It was Robin Roberts ahead of Aaron Nola, not Chris Short. So, Aaron Nola moves into third place on the Phillies' all-time strikeouts list with Robin Roberts in second. And so Aaron Nola now has 1,845 strikeouts. And Robin Roberts not too far and might be passing him soon with 1,871. How about Steve Carlton? Got 3,031 strikeouts as a Philly. Just insane numbers. But so I thought it was a big start for Nola. I think that it was a big bounce back, but at the same time, you can't give up three runs in the first inning, especially in that spot, because once those three runs cross the plate and it's 3-0 and you're heading into the first before all the fireworks happen, you're thinking to yourself, man, they're putting themselves in another hole here, and just hopefully they can score some runs and put some on the board, which they ended up doing. So that was good to see there. My last comment on the starting rotation, it's something that's been bothering me a little bit, but I don't think we're at a spot yet where we really have to panic. Seeing Nolan McLain for the Mets, and they're bringing up Jonah Tong, who's, again, nasty and is going to be a good pitcher for them for a long time, one of the better prospects in the sport. ESPN came out with the prospect rankings for the farm systems of every team. The Mets were number one. The Phillies are number 21. I don't think they're actually the 21st best farm system in baseball, but that is where they were ranked. And Andrew Painter, it's a shame because he was supposed to come up this year and be, I guess, a stalwart in this rotation and be somebody who, like a Nolan McLain or a Jonah Tong, a guy who could really help reinforce this pitching staff. And considering the injury, or not injury, the blood clot to Zach Wheeler, they really could have used that this year. And I know he had the injury and he had the Tommy John, which is definitely a very valid excuse. And it's something to where you just hope he can bounce back, and next year if he's feeling better and he's pitching better at AAA, okay, that's understandable. I just really, it's a shame because they could have used him this year, and they could have really used that extra arm in the rotation that they felt confident in. And look, guys with Tommy John, I've mentioned it before, have struggled coming out, and there are guys like Sandy Alcantara, who really struggled the first few months of the year, has pitched much better as of late. And Spencer Strider, you could say something similar. So it takes guys like that a little while to bounce back, get their fastball back, and get their spin rate and everything like that. So I just hope that next year he comes out and he feels more confident and he's throwing the ball better and he's getting the production that he's hoping for. Because this is a guy that at a lot of points, and even now still, they could trade for something that's a huge bat or a real piece that could help them win the World Series. And if he ends up, you know, not living up to his potential and not living up to what we all thought, that would be a shame. And I'm hoping that's not the case. And I'm not giving up on the Andrew Painter thing quite yet, because Tommy John is something that it does take a long time to recover for. And I think that he's in a spot to where he just needs probably an offseason and then come back and next year have a fresh slate. So just a thought I had as McClain was dealing against the Phillies last night. Like, man, he is really a good pitcher, and he's got the velocity. He's got that power sweeper that was just nasty, and he's going to give the Phillies problems potentially for a long time. A two-way guy at Oklahoma State, pitching and hitting, and a real athlete. Almost reminds me of Schwellenbach on the Braves a little bit. And, yeah, he was absolutely disgusting. So, speaking of disgusting, another Phillies reliever that is pretty gross, but has had a couple bad outings in a row is Jhoan Duran. And with Duran, it's interesting right now because for all the stuff that he has and the velocity that he has and the splinker, he doesn't get a ton of strikeouts for a guy that has that type of stuff. He only has like 27% strikeout rate, which is pretty low for him, a guy like that. And he's a ground ball machine, which we know, but you're seeing that sometimes when you have those seeing eye ground balls and guys are late on it and they're hitting it right down the first baseline, or if they're left-handed hitting it down the third baseline, that's a problem. And there are going to be batted balls that get in play, and he had some bad luck, but at the same time, you have to be able to get swing and miss if you're a closer. So I'm not worried about him. I just think that the ground balls are going to be very key for him to be able to have the success that he does. And I just think it's a little odd that he doesn't have the strikeout rate a little bit higher. But I will say, the thing with JT behind the plate, I was a little confused on sort of the pitch calling with JT, with Jhoan Duran over the past couple outings. They go to the splitter a lot, which is fine. It's a good pitch. But I just think that when you have 102, 103 in the tank, you know, you want to sort of use that as your primary pitch. And I just think that while the splinker is great, you can still throw that at 100. The fastball is probably your bread and butter there. And it just feels like it's been so unhittable for certain guys. And for him to be able to have that in his arsenal and just feel confident in it and play the splinker and play the off-speed and knuckle curve off it, I just think that's probably the best strategy for JT to call him. So I just think that is something to watch as we move forward, and hopefully Duran can bounce back. And I have full faith that he will. It was jarring for the first couple of times to see him blow a save and then obviously give up the walk-off and the four hits in the ninth inning on Tuesday night to the Mets. So hopefully he can bounce back here. So don't feel confident in a lot of the other guys right now. I mean, Strom's going through a rough time. Kirkery's going through a little bit of a rough time, but I think he'll bounce back because he was so good for 2.5 months there since like late May. Was just absolutely putting off some ridiculous numbers. But Tanner Banks continues to be great. I know he gave up the home run on Wednesday night, but that was sort of a meaningless home run. They just had to put him in the game. But I think he might be the lefty in the pen I trust the most right now, more than Alvarado, more than Matt Strom. And for a deadline that was pretty much a dud last year and one that a lot of people, including myself, complained about, them getting Tanner Banks just goes so under the radar. And he has been crucial for them at many times this year. So Tanner Banks, I probably trust him as much as any lefty in the postseason right now. So definitely good stuff with him. Jordan Romano, still on the team. Goes to the IL with middle finger inflammation. The jokes write themselves there, but we will probably not be seeing Jordan Romano for a little while. Thank goodness. And Joe Ross ends up getting DFA'd, and he is no longer with the Phillies. And they bring in Lou Trevino, who Penn Ridge graduate, went to Slippery Rock, and local kid. Good to see him get some run with the Phils, and he was really good in his days with Oakland. He's got some stuff, got 97 in the tank, so interested to see how the Lou Trevino experience goes. And it's been good so far. He's pitched a couple scoreless innings, so I would definitely be curious to see the rest of his experience here and if he's got some stuff left in the tank. So before we get out of here, want to give you the preview for the rest of the weekend series with the Braves. They take game one on Thursday night. Thank goodness. Thank you, Kyle Schwarber. And they hopefully get back on the right track, take 3 of 4 this weekend, and get everybody back on board. So Friday night, you got Bryce Elder, who the Phillies absolutely smoked earlier this year. I believe that was the game when they came from Houston to Atlanta, and they absolutely destroyed him after that long rain delay. So not having a good year, ERA over 6. Hopefully they can get to him again. Ranger Suarez going for the Phils, coming off of a pretty good start against the Washington Nationals, where he went 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 11 Ks. So hopefully he can build on that a little bit. Then Saturday, you've got a 6:05 start where you got great lefty matchup, Chris Sanchez versus Chris Sale. Hopefully Sanchez can bounce back from what was a rough start in Queens, but that was probably his worst start of the year, and I have confidence in him to bounce back considering the longevity he's been able to pitch at this year and has pitched so well. And if he is that changeup command, he will be fine. And I'm not too worried yet about Christopher Sanchez, even though it was jarring to see him melt down a little bit up there in Queens. And then to wrap it up, Sunday night baseball at Citizens Bank Park at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. You've got Jesus Luzardo going for the Phils against Hurston Waldrop for the Atlanta Braves, who has been really good so far for the Braves, actually. Young guy, he's got a ERA under 1. He's 23 years old, 4-0 so far for the Braves. And through five starts, he's got 1 earned run or less in every one. So going to be a tough matchup potentially for the Phils on Sunday Night Baseball there. But that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. I'll see you, everybody.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.